Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He has risen indeed. Alleluia.
Here we have the disciples. They are gathered together, not sure about what they are going to do next. There they were, with the door locked, for fear of the Jews. Sure, they had heard the report from Mary that she had seen Jesus. We should not forget about Peter and John. He went to the tomb and he found it empty, just as the women reported. But even with these glimpses of hope, there were still some major questions. Why did Jesus show himself only to Mary? And if he was resurrected, why wasn't he with the disciples now? Didn't Jesus know that the same Jews that killed him were probably coming to get them? Do you ever find yourself living in fear? The disciples were afraid of what the Jews could do to their earthly body, their possessions. Are you ever afraid of people or things that can attack your body, your possessions, or your place in life? When you look at the newspaper, there are plenty of things to be afraid of. Or I guess when you check the news on your phone, there are plenty of things to be afraid of. The world is a crazy place right now. People making nuclear threats. And in your fears, do you ever wonder, where is God in all of this? Well, this is how the disciples were feeling. They were afraid and they were wondering where God was in their situation. And then, all of a sudden, Jesus came and he stood among them. He had risen, and now he was meeting his disciples who were gathered together. They may have been afraid, but they did not give up meeting together. And when Jesus appeared among them, it must have reminded them of the promise. Whenever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. The disciples immediately forgot about their fears. And as they saw Jesus, he was among them, and his presence overshadowed the troubles and concerns that were plaguing them. And then, without delay, our risen Lord spoke to his people who were gathered together in his name. And he said, "Peace be with you." He met the disciples in the midst of their fear, and he replaced their fear with his word. His word to them, peace. This is the same peace that we ask for whenever we sing, "Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace." The disciples are not even recorded as asking for peace, but Jesus brought it to them with his presence, with his word. And he delivers this same word to us here this morning. You may not have fears of the world. You may not even be thinking about the world. But for many of you, this end of the semester is coming right up. There are fears there, real fears that you're really going through. As you study for exams, as you finish projects, I've been there. I know that those are real stresses, real fear. Or your fear may be on your home situation. I've talked with somebody recently who had lost their job, their family income. Real fear. Where is God in all of this? Jesus not only met with the disciples that night, he meets with you here today. We began our service in the name of the same God, in the name of the Father, the Son, who died and rose, and of the Holy Spirit, who makes him known to us. When Jesus gave his word of peace, he also did something. He made it a point to show them his hands and his feet and the nail pierced, that the nail had pierced them through. What Jesus was doing here was at least two things. First, he was showing his disciples how that peace was afforded. It was afforded by his sacrificial death on the cross, to which the gathered disciples had witnessed. And they were reminded, he was wounded for our transgressions, and by his stripes we are healed. The disciples saw the marks that afforded their healing and peace, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The disciples were glad, for the Lord was risen. And if that were not enough, Jesus bore the marks of his sacrificial death, but more than that, he bears the marks of his love for them, his love for you. And now the peace of God was standing in the place where the disciples' sins and fears once were. Again, this peace was put there by his word. Through the eyes of faith, we see the same nail-pierced hands of Jesus this morning. He has risen, and we see him through his visible signs. As we look at the font, that font is where you were connected. Maybe not this one, but the baptismal font is where you were connected with Jesus' death and resurrection. Romans 6 tells you that you were united. You know, that same language is used in marriage. The two shall become one flesh. And you were united, became one, became the body of Christ when you were baptized. It says you were crucified with him. So just as he has risen from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too rise to newness of life. The fear of death, you will experience it. That same grandfather that I mentioned earlier, as he was before he was dying, he said, if anyone ever tells you that they are not afraid, he said, they're lying. There is a tinge of fear. But you know what? Death has lost its sting. He is risen. And you who are in him, you who are of the body, cannot help but go where the head has gone. Jesus is preparing a place for you in heaven, so that where he is, there you may also be. After Jesus gave the disciples his message of peace, and he told them that he would be sending them around the world with the message of forgiveness, he told them who would become called sent ones, apostles. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And you know what? God still sends pastors. After 2,000 years, he still sends pastors to his people, and he sends his people to the world. I don't go to work with you to preach the gospel to your co-workers. I don't sit in your class to write notes to the people next to you that Jesus died for their sins. But you get very real opportunities to forgive as you have been forgiven, to love as you have been loved, and when they ask, to share the hope of the one who has risen from the dead, the hope that you have, that makes you a little different. You know, those disciples, after seeing the risen Lord, they still had moments of fear. They still had arguments. Paul and Barnabas being a famous one. But you know what? Ultimately, they were always able to go back to the resurrection. Jesus is risen, and this changes everything. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." These are strong words by Thomas. Imagine if he was thinking ahead to actually putting his hand in Jesus' side. He would not have said that. And what more could the disciples do? They shared God's love for him and with him. He would not receive it. They told their brother that Jesus had risen. He did not believe. And he not only wanted to see Jesus himself, he wanted to see the Jesus that was crucified. He wanted to see the Jesus who bore the marks. He wanted to place his hand in the side from which he saw water and blood flow. He wanted to see the Lord who had suffered. Unless he saw this Jesus, he would not believe. One good thing about Thomas, and I love Thomas, I really do. He showed great bravery that's hardly ever remembered. But in Thomas' doubt, what I love is that he did not stop meeting with other believers. He continued to meet with them, and 8 days later, he who was spiritually blind saw the nail marks and the pierced side of Jesus. And Jesus spoke a word of faith to Thomas's doubting heart. The Jesus who bore the marks of Thomas' sin spoke peace to his heart. This brings us to an interesting question. Which Jesus are you seeking this morning? Are you seeking the Jesus that Thomas sought? The Jesus who showed himself to the disciples? Or are you seeking a different Jesus? Are you seeking a Jesus who conquers with glory? Or are you seeking a Jesus of the cross? The Jesus who is an offense to the Jews, a stumbling block to the Greeks? The Jesus of the cross is the Jesus of the Scriptures. He's the Jesus that comes to you this morning. He is acquainted with suffering. On the night before he was betrayed, he sweat drops of blood as he pleaded not to go through death. The Father would not let the cup pass from him, and he would go to death for your sake, and he would rise for your sake. This Jesus is with you in your suffering. I love Psalm 23, and I visit a lot of people suffering, and I always bring up this psalm, especially this point. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That part through. God doesn't take you around. He doesn't pick you up over. He goes right in it with you. You may be struggling. You are not alone. He who is crucified for you is still with you. If you find yourself doubting this morning, I would encourage you to be a doubting Thomas. Show up next week. Take Thomas's example to heart, and do not let your doubts keep you from meeting with other Christians. They're good people. Listen to Jesus as he says to you, "Test me. Put your fingers here. See my hands. And put out your hand. Place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And as we listen to Jesus' word, and we partake of his life-giving gifts, as we see his love in the wounds which won our forgiveness, our hearts turn from fear to peace. Things are put back into perspective. And together with Thomas and all of the saints who have gone before, we see our Jesus and we respond to his resounding, with his love, with a resounding, "My Lord, my God." Alleluia. Christ has risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And now the peace which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until he returns for you. Amen.